This is a press conference podcast from Jayhawkslant.com.
I think Landon matched his season 9 points and tied his rebounds. Did you see something different from him tonight? Or?
I thought he played really well. I thought he was quick into his moves. He didn't catch it and hold it and hesitate. I thought he played really well. I actually thought he and Doak and Mitch, they were 7-7 the first half and combined to go 9-10. If you told me before the game that, you know, we'd get 20 points out of our five man, I would be really happy with that. So that was positive.
Do you think being one guy short in the front court could have led to having better focus?
Not at all. No, I don't think. We talked about trying to play defense early on before your man catches it, because a couple of silly fouls by both of those guys, could kind of. I mean, Dwight and Mitch are capable, but they don't get a chance to practice with those guys much, so you probably wouldn't have as much rhythm offensively. But they were able, for the most part, to stay out of foul trouble.
And you said you talked to the team, I think, yesterday about focus. How were you pleased with the team's focus tonight?
I thought the first half we were really good. I thought we were really solid the first half. Second half, we weren't. I could be wrong. I think we missed 9 out of 10 free throws in a row. I mean, and it kills all momentum. You can't make free throws. And you throw it off the backboard, miss dunks. And, I mean, it was not good. And then we didn't guard anybody second half. So. But the first half, we were pretty good, so we'll dwell on the positive. That's what I always choose to do, is try to dwell on the positives.
Landon also said this team needs to develop more of its killer instinct and be able to step on the opponent's throat when you got a good lead.
Well, that's what we should have done, Not saying that Nebraska wouldn't come out and try and that automatically happens. I don't think that at all. But we had a chance and took the foot off the gas a little bit. And, we couldn't guard Webster, and that obviously hurt us. But second half, they got the ball wherever they wanted to. And the first half, they didn't as much. But the second half, we didn't play very intently defensively at all.
You talk a lot about liking, when it's uncomfortable for your guys. Is this a good thing to go through then, that second half? I mean, you're up 20 on the scoreboard, but you're still yelling at them about this and that and these little
things. Maybe so. Most of our best defensive teams, the one reason why they were better defensively is because we weren't as good offensively. When you score easy sometimes, you have a tendency to think everything's okay if the other team does. And now I'm not saying we're unbelievable offensively, but we scored easier this year than I think any team maybe we've had in a long time. So as much as we've emphasized and stressed it, I think there's good intentions, but I think when things kind of get to the point where they're comfortable, I think they take the foot off the gas a little bit.
Who's that on? Is it seniors? Is it you?
I would like to, I guess the coach takes responsibility for everything. So I guess it's on me, but you would think those two little guards would make sure everybody else follows. So.
Would you say you guys are still in fact-finding mode with regards to Carlton's situation?
Oh, yeah. I don't know anything more than what I knew yesterday, which was very limited. I know the exact same thing that you know. You may know more. Based on what's been reported. So, yeah, it's obviously something that it's going to get talked about. We understand that. Carlton understands that. But it's not anything that it's really worth a lot of commenting on, because, obviously there's no decisions to be made as far as finality goes until, you hear what's transpired. I'm sure that the respective people are in the process of trying to do that. Figure it out.
How much of a distraction was it, you think, for the team, and didn't look like in the first half?
I think maybe one reason why in the first half we were a little bit more focused maybe was because of it. Maybe. I don't know. But they seemed to be pretty focused the first half. But it was a distraction. But, and with teams and throughout seasons and everything, there's going to be different things come up, not necessarily things of like this that are legal things, but there's going to be things that come up that the public may not know about that can definitely create distractions. And I don't know that it helps us to play through that at all, but because you certainly don't want to deal with it. But I think the first half, that may be attributed a little bit to us being a little bit more focused. At least, I don't know, though.
You have a son who's the same age, basically, as Carlton, a little older, but when you're talking to a player about a situation like this that obviously is uncomfortable for them, what is that like, and how do you read what reaction you're getting from a player, or the honesty level, or that type of thing?
Well, the thing about it is, this isn't the first conversation we've had with our team about incidents that could potentially occur not only within a team but on a campus, male, female. You know, it's a serious situation whenever you have a confrontation involving two people, primarily a male and a female, and you know, we've had outsiders come in and talk to our team. We've had people on campus come down and talk to our team. All these things. The players are well aware of certain situations, but still, sometimes, you know, obviously, regardless of how well aware, you know, there's things that happen in real time that create issues. And the thing about it is, whatever the issues are, and there's obviously something because, you know, of what transpired or what's been reported so far, I'm not going to comment on anything other than the fact that I really don't know. I really don't. And I'll stand by that until, you know, somebody in charge educates me on the situation, and who knows how long that will take. So,
was there ever any thought either from him or the team on not having him on the bench tonight?
No. I mean, it's a very humbling situation. I mean, I think everybody would agree with that. I mean, he's been on the ticker and everything. It's a humbling situation, but it's not one that you run from. It's one that you when things happen, you address them like a manner in which you should, even though that's not saying good, bad, or indifferent. You know, so to give to have him not be on the bench would basically be saying that, is he not part of your family? You know, I think, you know, the decision that he will not play until this is resolved, I mean, or until we know what's going on, I think that speaks for itself. But there was no thought of not having him be a part of this. That's also part of the educational process as well, I think.
Will it affect how you practice or if he practices or anything like that?
I would say probably not. You know, we said that he's going to be withheld from all team competitions, so we're going to stick with that, and unless something else tells us there needs to be something else done, so which that may occur, it may not occur. I don't know, but that's where it's at.
More from the competitive standpoint, I mean, if you don't have it for a certain number of games or time, do you have to work other guys in there and take his reps away a little bit just for this team?
Oh yeah, I would say, as far as a strategy on you know, you want to get guys ready that you feel like that will be have an opportunity to play. So that would certainly affect that part of practice, without question.
It's obviously he's not a polished basketball player yet, and you see that a lot of times during the game, but are you real happy with Udoka's effort that he's pretty consistent?
You know, I am sometimes. I think he's great. I think he's a stud. I think he's going to be really good. But there's times where he can impact the game a lot more and block more shots or jump to block shots or things like that, that maybe if his man doesn't have the ball, he doesn't react as quick as he should. But you know, he's going to get that. I mean, he's going to get that. I think he could be an unbelievable shot blocker, and he's not quite there yet. But I mean, I'm pleased with Doak. He's got a long ways to go, but he's gaining on it.
Coach, you kind of mentioned the killer mentality to close out a game and how a lot of that falls on the guards. Is that something like Josh can help with too?
Yeah, but when I say a lot, the question was, you know, who needs to probably do, you know, take responsibility? Well, if you have a junior and a senior guard that are thought of by many to be really good, which I totally agree, then they should accept responsibility on those things. And sometimes we do for the most part, but sometimes we play to the score as opposed to playing like to score 0-0 at halftime.
What do you think about Josh today?
He was active. You know, first half he did a little bit of everything. He turned it over. He got assists. He blocked shots. He got steals. He did everything. Second half, I don't think he had any turnovers. And you know, 5 block shots and 2 steals and 6 rebounds. And you know, if he makes 4 more free throws and finishes a dunk, I mean, he gets his career high. You know, so he played well. And he gets his career high with 5 blocks. It's just we kind of, you know, he just didn't kind of close the game out probably from a scoring standpoint that he potentially could have.
What did you not like about the alley-oop attempt off the backboard? I mean, is it just the play itself or not finishing or all of the
– I don't think I got onto him for the play as much as the probably not respecting the game the way they should in that situation. So Speed threw it off the backboard. Big deal. Well, if you're Josh, you got to catch it and finish it. You don't have to catch it and try to do more with it than what you could. You know, back when I played and we threw it up, we did that. You know, I always just tried to make the easy play, you know. You know, I don't think it was the right play in that particular situation.
Anything else?
Is Jackson capable of being kind of a rim protector when you play these 4-guard lineups?
Well, he's our best shot blocker, obviously. Doak should be. Landis should be second, but I think Josh probably goes after the ball as well as anybody. But you say rim protector. No, not a rim protector to me is when there's mistakes made on the perimeter and you got a guy that can cover up for him. He's not Jeff Withey by any stretch, but he is a guy that can make a lot of blocks. And a lot of his blocks come kind of from transition and things like that, where he can run guys down and things like that. But as far as half-court defense, I wouldn't consider him a rim protector.